These are our mentor moms and head mentor of all of women's ministry. So it's pretty awesome. This topic I think is so important, and we want to be teaching our kids in the daily and teaching them about God and the gospel. And I think every single ministry here at the church, the point of them is to partner along with parents. The point of it is to be next to us in that. And so while we do have amazing ministries that get to support us in that, it is our job. And as the moms, it really is our job. And so these ladies have done it and are going to tell us all the good and the bad and the ugly that comes with it and teaching our kids the gospel. But maybe just do like a mini intro and your kids so they, in case they don't remember.
I'm Bethany Drum, and I'm married to Dave, and I have three kiddos, Nathan, Seth, and Dara over there. And I don't know.
That's
what
good.
Else? That's good.
Duper.
Oh yes, I do have grandkids now. Finally. See, Joy and Billy. So
I'm Gwen Trafficant. I have two kids and a new daughter-in-law, and I'm gonna be a great mom.
Yeah.
Yay!
So in September, so I'm pretty excited. And I'm married to Jim.
I'm Maureen Fowler, and I'm married to a different Dave.
Yeah.
Since both of our husbands are elders, yeah, that's really good. Yeah. You can have confidence.
Are we even going to get through this?
We got it.
Oh, it's recorded.
Hey, great.
We have fun at mom. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so I have two sons and a daughter-in-law. No children, which I'm okay with. No grandchildren yet. I meant. I have two boys and a daughter-in-law. They're all grown and launched. We're proof that you'll make it.
So our first one, pretty straight to the point. When and how did you begin to introduce biblical truth into conversations with your littles? And what did that look like on a daily or weekly basis?
Oh, really? Well, first of all, I know a lot of you moms, and you're already doing this. So praise the Lord. And because it starts early. And I've seen you doing that early with your littles, of speaking biblical truth to them and bringing up in conversations with your littles. And it can start with when they're, even before they're born or right after they're born, you're singing to your children. You're you know, praying over them at night before they go to sleep. I mean, all those things are, they're hearing that. They're going to grow up hearing that. They're going to grow up remembering. I mean, some of you grew up in this church, you probably can still sing some of those songs that your mom sang over you that were parts of spiritual truth. You read Bible stories with them. You can pick an attribute of God, even like what I was talking about earlier, and focus on that as a family. God is love, and spend a week talking about that, finding it in different places, bringing it up just in your normal conversations throughout the day. For us, a lot of the conversation happened around our dinner table. We were really committed to eating meals together. Even when our oldest was an infant, he was the centerpiece on our dinner table. Put him in that little bouncy thing. And so it started then, conversations, until they still come home and we still make sure we eat together. So it's just that we made those priorities. When they started even preschool, I tried really hard to have short devotionals, you know, because I wanted to send them out the door with God's word on their heart. So we would have quick devotionals and just quick prayer to send them out well. So those are just a few things.
So I'm going to echo a lot of what you just said. It looks like we shared notes, but you know, when they're little babies and I, you know, the rocking time, singing to them, praying over them, you know, so that prayer just becomes very familiar to them. and it becomes their go-to. Praying with them, you know, as things come up, you know, the little scraped knees, or my heart was really for my kids to just know that prayer was conversation with God, and that it wasn't just something we did at night before they went to bed. And life presents many opportunities to pray. And so I just appreciated that it was good to take advantage of that. Also, the character, God's character, having them understand the attributes. You know, I made a list. One thing I would tell my younger self is literally to make a list and pick a few to focus on with your kids. You know, maybe it's something you're going through in your family or your life situation. You know, for us, you know, my kids had a sick daddy growing up. So there was a lot of conversation about fear. And so I would, you know, versus like, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. So I was very intentional about the things I knew they were struggling with to kind of bring into our conversation and focus on. But not just the fear aspect, but who is God? You know, that he's faithful, that he loves you, that he is our strength, that he is our hope. You know, all those things. And you can kind of just be strategic in putting them in the way of the word. So I think I'll pass it to Bethany. Oh, another thing is, and this will be my last thing, but sometimes when things would come up, you know, let's say we were praying about something and, you know, maybe a friend or somebody would gift our family or do something that was literally an answer to prayer. And I would talk with our kids, you know, as toddlers, you know, this was kind of like God giving us a hug. And just kind of bringing God into our circumstances that, you know, he knows what we're going through. And, you know, that God brings people into our lives in the same way that we go into other people's lives. And it's kind of like getting a hug. So just being intentional about speaking about those things in terms that they can relate to.
Yeah, I would say a little, some of the same things y'all said. I feel like scripture, if you can find scripture to music, that's great. Because, you know, we're just, God just made us, even if you can't carry a tune, God just made us to be able to remember things well with music, and so I feel like that's a really good thing. I will say that I felt like when we were talking about this is not the area I shine. I am the non-teacher in the group, and I'm not very creative. So for all of you women out there that are like me, there's hope. My kids grew up and they love Jesus. So I liked what Rachel said at the beginning, you know, and I remember saying this to myself. You know, God didn't say, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? You know, I made Bethany a mother. So, no, he made each of you moms, and he gave you each of your kids. So he can equip you. And even if you're not the super creative mom, you can still teach them the biblical truth. So.
I just, to encourage you, because I know it can seem overwhelming, but it's really, you can speak biblical truth in your conversations of just making your day an attitude of gratitude with your kids. It doesn't have to be a sit down, have a devotional with your kids, things like that. It could be just, you know, you look outside and the rain has finally stopped and you're like, thank God, thank you God for making the rain stop. And just say it out loud with your kids. It's just this attitude of gratitude that you can naturally have in conversation in the house and talk about biblical truth that way, of just praising God and thanking him with that. Or, you know, God, you're the one who causes flowers to grow. Thank you for the beautiful flowers in our front yard. I actually even have still framed weeds, you know, dandelions or whatever they are, that my three-year-old son brought to me. Mommy, look, I picked flowers for you, and they were weeds. And I literally put them in wax paper, and they're in the frame on my kitchen window. He's 28 now. But to realize at the heart of this little boy who then grew to become a man, the heart of that boy was he loved me and wanted to bring me a bouquet of weeds because he wanted to, because it's beautiful. So I mean, just if it's, just make that a pattern in your life of just speaking gratitude to the Lord back to them, and have that be natural conversation in the house is also just a great way to instill praise in the kids.
That's awesome. I think it goes directly into the next question. I really appreciate you saying having a conversation. Prayer is a conversation with the Lord, because I make my kids pray at all of our meals, and I might be a little bit of a dictator. We're going to pray, and not being realizing that they are speaking to the Lord. So just thank you.
Yeah,
it's wonderful. As moms of littles, how do you model seeing God in your daily life to your children? Which I think we're in just now, that's one of those exact things, is when you're walking out in nature and they're seeing things, and whether they're beautiful or a weed, you appreciate the moment to teach them something. So how did you guys model that for your kids?
So I know it's a very hard season to find time to have your quiet time, or to find any quiet time. I, it seemed like no matter what time I set my alarm for, I had a little boy that woke up right at that time.
Yep.
But as you can, and honestly, you ladies have had such great suggestions on even how you make time to find time in the Word. I wanted them to see my Bible out, even if they didn't see me in it. I wanted it to be something that was common in our home. One of the years in Moms, one of the women said that they kept theirs out on their counter so that as they walked through the day, you know, they could like read the next verse. And I really like that. And so just so that it's something that's common to them. The other thing, I wanted, and I know you do too, my kids to love God's word. So I was really careful. While God's word tells us how to live and it talks about sin, I did not want to use the word, and I don't know how to say this because it's part of discipline, but I didn't want to misappropriate scripture to their behavior in a way that it was corrective, like they would understand, you know, that God wants us to be truth tellers. You know, I would say, because, you know, isn't it amazing when these little people lie to you the first time? You think, I did not teach them. I had a little blonde-haired boy holding scissors and a clump of hair on the floor behind him. He told me he didn't cut his hair. And I kept saying, I'm giving you one more chance. Because I can see the evidence. So there's many opportunities to talk about, you know, the truth and how to live a Christian life without kind of using the Bible in a way that would make them feel like their memory of it is that you are always using it to be corrective. There are enough verses that talk about, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, truth is valuable. So that was important to me.
Don't you think one of the things I was thinking is that you have to remember your people are little.
Yes.
So like what's age appropriate, and there's some concepts that they can't learn at the preschool years, you know. Mm-hmm. So talk to them. I don't want to say in baby talk, but they are not going to understand the word sovereign. Like so you have to use different words, right? Mm-hmm. And we want them to know that God is holy, but we don't want them to think of him as only condemning, right? Until they can understand the full gospel. We're trying to lay the foundation so that remember that they're little, mm-hmm. and they developmentally can't understand some things fully yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good, because I'll put my preschool teacher hat on for a second. Because that is really true. And I used to share that even in my parent conferences with parents. I'd tell them, okay, your child's 4. They've been on the planet for only 4 years. That's nothing. That's nothing. And of those 4 years, they've been verbal for maybe a year and a half. You know, and so developmentally, they don't even have the ability to express some of the truths that we know they will. And so just keep that in mind. There's oftentimes I would have to say, I'm expecting something out of them that I have not yet taught them. Mm-hmm. And I need to stop and go back. Because we want them to do something, but I haven't shown them how to do it yet. Mm-hmm. And so I would have to back it up. And that has to do partially with a quote that I read from Dobson. And it says, if your child followed Jesus like you did, if they prayed like you did, if they trusted him like you did, is that your desire? Or do you want your kids to be something that is not real in your own walk? And it's that too. Sometimes we expect them to be where we're at. They should just get it. They should know it. But they've only been on the planet a very short time, and we're still working on it, and we are grown moms, and we still struggle with some of that. So I really think sometimes it's more about us, what God's trying to do with us, than it is with our kids. And I just am reminded that discipline is part of the word disciple and discipleship, and that's what we're trying to do with our kids, is to teach them how to follow Jesus and teach them how to love God, because he's worthy, and he's so for me, the answer would be it's best to model it, live it out in front of your kids. And that includes you know, let them catch you reading your Bible, let them catch you praying. You know, don't see them as an inconvenience if you're having your quiet time and your kid wakes up and whatever. Put them in your lap. Just bring them into it and read the scripture with them and talk to them about it. They're not an inconvenience. They're your babies. And so make them a part of it. Catch them seeing you in prayer and grab them in there and then just join me in prayer and just pray with them. So it's those kind of things, I think, of seeing God in the daily, that they need to see us hungering and thirst for righteousness. They need to see us realize that God is a light unto our path, you know, like we've been studying all year and trying to work out. So also, even when you're trying to serve someone, say you're making a meal for someone that just had a baby or something, we always would include the kids, you know, and so that we could teach them, this is an act of kindness, this is what God wants us to do. And so they would help me make it, they would deliver it with me, and became a part of all of that. So
so I guess just to piggyback on that a little bit, I do think there are just so many opportunities where you're doing life with them. And, you know, we, as moms, we know the truth, we know the word, and so you're just living it out, and life does present many opportunities for that. And I think also just, I like what you said about not making them feel like an inconvenience. Mm-hmm. You know, just bring them into where you're at. It doesn't have to look like any set formula. And I think by now in your mothering, you know there really is no set formula. You know, your best laid plans always change. And as your child changes, you have to adjust your way you minister to them, because they're growing and developing. But it's a great opportunity that we get this privilege of bringing them to the feet of Jesus and teaching them about who he is and how much that he loves them.
Yeah, I have found my quiet times aren't very quiet, and I will turn on, I'll have the scripture being read and reading it, because then at least, like, it's going to get in there somehow, I think. But my kids do well if the voice, it sounds like Morgan Freeman, so the voice helps and it calms them and I can listen to it as well. But you adapt and go with it. As we're entering into, you know, these wonderful sunshine days, what does it look like, and what were ways you took advantage of summer months with your littles? Don't fight over it.
I'll go first and then.
So you have, summer looks different. You have a lot more time. You have a lot more time outside, which is great. I was talking to my adult kids and saying, what do you remember about our summers? And one of the things I did is, so they would have been toddlers because I had a double stroller and we have a lot of walking paths. And I would pack up some muffins that I made from a box mix, which I told my daughter, who's a great baker, and she said, those were the best muffins that I've ever had. Because I didn't have time to do anything from scratch. But so I would pack up some muffins, a little breakfast, and I had a little devotional. So my oldest is a girl, and my second was a little boy, and so she was easy to talk to, and I needed to entertain him in a way that he would pay attention. And so we would do these walks in a double stroller. I would pack breakfast, and I had this little children's devotional. It was called Sword Fighting. So Jeremy was all about that. And of course, it was talking about scripture. And so they're very short little devotionals. We would do our walk, we'd get to the playground, we'd have to have breakfast, you know, and then we'd have our devotional, and then they could have playtime. So it's, you know, my daughter's 32, and she said, that's one of the things I remember. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever works for your family, it doesn't have to, there's no perfect way to do this. The other thing I would say is give yourselves tons of grace as you enter into summer. There's always an adjustment with schedules. And it's just a great opportunity to find time to have a different way of interacting with your kids and nature. You know, there's so much in nature that allows us to talk about what God has made. And, you know, I love the weather, so I love talking about the weather. And isn't it amazing, you know, that God can make the wind? And there's a lot of opportunities like that.
I loved summers with the kids because it was like a blank canvas. It was just, it could look different than it does any other time of the year. And even as a young mom, some of my responsibilities, maybe a church or ministry, I'm free of those. So I would just even feel more available to them in some ways. But I would encourage you, don't overfill your summer. Don't be in a hurry to sign them up for every camp or every, you know, adventure or whatever. It doesn't have to be really structured. A lot of their other seasons of the year are more structured, and so this gives you a chance to make summer a whole different schedule and just go with it. Sometimes it's plan the day and let them plan the day if they wanted to do it. We often would pick a picnic lunch, and we would meet friends at a new park, and we would run them ragged, and we would have a picnic and stay there until they, you know, let them run, let them get dirty, let them do whatever, and till they're ready for their nap, and then go home and take a family nap together. That kind of stuff. We would have pajama days, and they could stay in their pajamas all day long. They could have a friend over, and it just, we would let them just be much less structured. We would make forts out of sheets and blankets and let them sleep in there or whatever, and just let your house be a mess, especially if it's a rainy day or whatever. So things like that. I'd also, small soapbox, Ingrid will understand. Even encourage you to have a technology-free day, like even if it's once a week in the summer. If it has to be plugged in, tapped, swiped, whatever, including you as a mom. Just put it aside. Be present with your kids. Some of the things, again, in preschool that would just make me sad would be, here's the kids having this great day, and it's pickup time, and mom is on her phone, either talking or on the phone, and would be just like, come on, come on, and be distracted. And I thought, she's been saving it all up to see you at this moment. So just be present for them, you know, just take a technology day off, go for long walks, like you said, just, you know, we often would meet our friends at the pool, and after naps, and we would order pizza, and we would stay at the pool till the pool closed. Everyone goes home, and we have the pool to ourselves, and just, it's okay the kids stayed up late, because we had the freedom to do that. And like I said, just, let them play through the, you know, through the day. They're gonna glean things as they see us, and we want them to see that we're excited about how they're learning and growing, and we want to be a part of it. So just keep it simple. Just really keep it simple. On your tables, something from Beverly that she wanted you to have is to keep it simple in the summer and just let the kids take the lead on with one of you. I know some of them can't talk yet or anything.
Yeah, I would say a lot of the same things. I actually love the summers. I'll just throw out one thing. Because it's a summer, you're not gonna, at least we didn't have quite as many evening commitments as during the rest of the year. So probably once or twice a week, we would eat dinner, and this won't work for your babies, but for toddlers and up, then Dave would take them to the pool. Dave would take the toddlers and up to the pool, because not every night, but once or twice a week, they can go to bed a little bit later, especially during, I feel like, the summer. So just things like that. So that's why I love the summer, because, you know, you were freer of some of the other evening commitments and stuff, and so it just gave you a little bit more flexibility.
That's we do the pool a lot, and my son last summer was like, "Why don't you get your hair wet?" And it was really good for my heart, because I only wash my hair twice a week, and it's okay to get your hair wet at the pool because your kids want to splash. And Ingrid this weekend, I was staying with Ingrid and Chris, and they said, sometimes we forget that kids are kids. I feel like all of those things speak to that of making forts and having dad do fun, silly nights and whatever it is. Their pants are allowed to get dirty. That's why they're called play clothes. All of those things fit into the summer, and you can get your hair wet. What is one piece of advice that you were given or wish you were given in this stage of parenting?
So I woke up first for this. To take the long view. And that's hard at this stage. I didn't do it naturally. And that means that I would say training takes a long time. So you just need to have that mindset, or, you know, don't get frustrated when, after you've, you know, tried to correct, train, whether for the 10th or 11th time, they're still not getting, it takes a long time. And then the other thing, so you just need to have a long view. Because I think when we have a short view, I'm just gonna speak for me, that reflected that I'm more concerned about immediate behavior rather than their heart. I'm more concerned about what my kids look like rather than heart issues. Along with that, again, the goal is not a potty trained toddler. A goal is not an early reader. A goal is not a soccer star. You know, your goal is long. Your goal is that, God willing, they'll grow up and love Jesus and other people. So I wish, I think I didn't do that as well. I got better. But I wish, I don't remember anybody giving me that advice, and I wish I had it.
So along the same lines, I know you've probably heard many times over that the days are long and the years are short. And sitting where we're sitting, it's so true. I remember people saying that, and I thought, my days feel unending. And also, one piece of advice I did have is actually a friend of mine's mother-in-law told her. She went to the door when her mother-in-law arrived, and she had a lot of excuses. You know, she was feeling like her house was upside down. And her mother-in-law stopped her in her tracks, and she said, "You know what? If your house is out of order, that tells me your priorities are in order." So I guess give yourselves tons of grace. That's one thing I wish I could tell my younger self. I think I worried too much about trying to maintain our life instead of sometimes just living it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your children won't remember whether things were in order. They will remember the emotional tone of your home. They will remember the love that they felt. They will remember the language in your home. And then even as I say that, when your language isn't as it should be or you get frustrated, give yourselves tons of grace because they also learn in that. You know, my kids learned what it looked like to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And, you know, I'm gonna ask God to forgive me and I'm asking you to forgive me. And then I would move through it. The other thing is not to wallow in it because we are also teaching them because they're gonna have to do the same thing. And we want them to move through whatever it is that they feel convicted about. Just I really giving yourself lots of grace, modeling repentance, and then moving through that. And then it's really sweet. You are creating a spiritual heritage for your family. And it's not going to look perfect. Just like, you know, our relationship with the Lord, we're getting sanctified, we're growing, we're learning. You know, we learn from the mistakes that we make, and we learn what grace feels like. We learn what new mercies every day look like, and you're creating that, and you're at the front end of all of that, which is really exciting. It can seem daunting, but it's very exciting, and also it's not all on us. You know, God knows the number of their days before there were one of them, and He also is providing for them. It's not all that we do. You know, we have a very important role in their lives. But God is ultimately providing through us, and His provision is better than anything that we can provide.
No, I totally echo all that both of you have said. I agree with those things because those are some of the things that I wrote down of just know what is your responsibility and what is God's job. It's God's job. We have a responsibility, but it's God's job. I mean, you can't save your kids. You can't. God changes the hearts of each one of us. And sometimes as moms, we feel like it's our job to do that. And even with that, parenting is not a formula. We want to encourage you. It is for the long haul. And it's not, okay, if I do this, if I do enough of that, if I, like you said, speak biblical truth to them enough, then I've done my job and I can check that box and they're safe. They're safe now. I did it. It's not. It's that's God's work. And sometimes we have to say, Lord, help me get out of your way. Help me get out of your way, even in the parenting, even in but it's a living out process. You know, it's not a formula. And there's no perfect formula. So you read a lot of books, you hear a lot of podcasts, you see other moms and the way it works for them, and you think, oh, I just have to do that. That's not your child. That's their child God gave them. But it's not a box to check thinking that you're going to do enough, or it's a work of God. And sometimes it's really more about us than it is about the kids. Do I trust the Lord with my little one? In my mistakes, in my successes, or what I consider successes, it's not just you're training your children. God is doing a work in you as moms. Of do I trust the Lord with my kids? Do I have faith? Am I teachable? Because you'll learn a lot through your children about you. The only other thing I would say is respond, do not react. It's been a sign on my window, so it's very faded now, that a friend gave me. Actually, it's a second generation because the first one got so faded when they were little. But there's a big difference, especially because I'm Irish. Sometimes I react instead of responding, and that's a hard thing when you're in the heat of the moment of parenting. You can end up reacting, and just take a moment to respond, even if it's go lock yourself in the bathroom for 2 minutes and come back out. It's so.
Just one more thing, and you have at least 18 years, and it ends up being usually a little bit more than that. But you know, I can even remember thinking, there's just so much I want to teach them. There's so much I want them to know. And even as my kids got older and they left, you know, to go off to school, I kind of, you know, I was going through, oh, you know, I wish I had done this. God knows what your kids need. And if you are earnestly seeking him, you just need to trust that you've done what, you know, you followed the Lord's leading in their lives. And again, we are not their sovereign, that God is sovereign over their life, and he has a plan, not just for the number of their days, but for the context of them. And so that's a sweet thing to remember, too. It's not all on us, which we are all echoing.
Well, we just want to end with, we have a couple giveaways, and we'll get it. Yes. Just a couple of books that are great books for what we're talking about, and they model it. And one of them I'm actually going to read, but one of them is this, it's a pretty new book.